This is the Tanakh Podcast with Alex Israel. Today, Sefer Yonah, Perek Bet, Chapter 2. Our learning is dedicated to the brave soldiers of Chayalei Tzava Hagana Yisrael, to the speedy return of all of the hostages, and to the refuah shlema, the full recovery of all of the wounded in this war in Gaza. Today, chapter 2. Chapter 2 is a tough chapter. The chapter gives us Yonah's prayer, but what is entirely unclear to us is when Yonah prayed, at what stage in the story, and why he says what he says. Let me explain. Let's read a little bit. Vayeman Hashem dag gadol livlo et Yonah. God sent large fish to swallow Yonah. The word vayeman means that God sort of provided, but it's a special word. We'll see it later on in the book. There's no coincidence here in the way that the natural forces appear. Everything is intentional. Everything is for a specific purpose. And although it sounds unpleasant, getting swallowed and all, you know, Yonah had a death wish and he wanted to die in the sea. But just like God sent a storm to stop Yonah from evading his prophetic calling, similarly, God is not letting Yonah off the hook, even when he's in the water, until he goes to Nineveh. And therefore, that's what this fish is for. Yonah was in the innards of this fish for 3 days and three nights. And Yonah prays to God, who Hashem is God, from the innards of the fish. Being in a fish for 3 days and three nights is particularly unpleasant. But we wonder why he waits 3 days to pray. The impression I would say is that he waits 3 days. He's praying to get out of there. Being swallowed might have given him some sort of relief. But now after 3 days, by the way, 3 days is always a separation period. It's 3 days of preparation for Mount Sinai. Lavan took his flocks 3 days away, and that was a complete degree of separation. 3 days after the Red Sea, we have the story of Marah. They went 3 days without water. 3 days is sort of like this standard time of either preparation. They had 3 days to prepare before they crossed over the Jordan into the Promised Land. So after 3 days, Yonah realizes this fish is not going to release him until he does something. The fish, which was originally a medium of rescue to Yonah, has now been transformed. And now it's a tool of incarceration. It's a prison cell. And Yonah is going to have to find a way in order to get out. And we sort of wonder what Yonah is going to say. Is he going to say, "I'm sorry that I ran away"? Is he going to say, "I was wrong, I'll take on the mission"? What's he going to say? So let's read the chapter. And again, as we sometimes do, I'm going to have to read in English just to cover more ground in the perek. So let's see what we can do. Karati mitzara li el Hashem v'ya'aneini. In my distress, I called to God and he answered me. From Sheol, the place of death, I cried out and you listened to my voice. Mi beten sha'ol shivati, shamata koli. Vatashlicheni mitzulabu vavamim v'nahar yisov aveni. You hurled me into the depths, into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. And I said, "I've been banished from your sight. Yet I will look again towards your holy temple. Ach osif l'habit elei chalkotchecha." The engulfing waters threatened me, the deep surrounded me, seaweed wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains I sank down, the earth beneath me barred me in forever. But you, the Lord my God, Hashem Elokai, Vatal Mishachat Chayai, you brought me up from absolute destruction. Bitatef alai nafshi, when my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, God. Vatavoy lecha tfilati eleichal kodshecha, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. This prayer is strange. It's a retrospective prayer. At the end of 3 days, Yonah suddenly begins to reflect on the fact that when he was thrown into the swirling waters, as he was going under the waves, as he began to drown and was gasping for air, he prayed and he made promises to God, vows, and he thanks God for listening to his voice and saving his life. And he vows that Nadarai Lashem Ashalem, let's read those lines, they're right at the end. Meshamrim Hevle Shav Chazdami Avotovu. Those who cling to nonsense, some people translate it as worthless idols, Chazdam Ya'azovu, they will abandon your kindness. Va'ani b'kol todah es b'chalach, but I, with a voice of thanks, I will sacrifice to you, Asher Nadarti Ashalema, that which I vowed, I will pay. Yeshuata Lashem. All salvation comes from God. And the chapter ends, Vayoma Hashem Ledag Vayakeit Yonah Elayabasha. God commanded the fish and it vomited Yonah onto the dry land. The chapter begins with the fish swallowing Yonah. It ends with God instructing the fish to spit Yonah out. So what I'm trying to say is, what is the point of the chapter? There's not a word of remorse. There's not a fragment of an apology. So what is Yonah thinking, and what's the point here? If you look at this prayer, by the way, there are many parallels to things like a Mizmor Shir Chanukat HaBayit LeDavid, to the Prakim of Hallel, for example, like we have in Hallel, Afafuni Chevle Mavet, and here we have Afafuni Mayim Ad Nafesh. We have the idea of, for example, Nedarai LaShem Ashalem Negdana L'Chol Amo B'Chatzrot Beit Hashem. And here we have the idea of Asher Nadarti Ashalema, I will repay my vows. The idea of Vatavoy Lecha Tfilati Eleichal Kodshecha. So some people even say that since this is so similar to other tefillot, Yonah might not even compose this, but he used a prayer from the Tehillim repertoire. So what's happening here? If you look at Abarbanel, for example, he says, Ani b'kol todayis b'chalach, I, with a voice of thanks, will sacrifice to you, or tzalomar she'eleichel nimvei. In other words, this prayer is saying, thank you for giving me my life, and I capitulate. I will go to nimvei over kol todah, and with a voice of thanks, eseh takriya b'mitzvatecha, I will indeed follow your instruction. I'm not going to bring actual sacrifices. The sacrifice that I'm going to bring, says the Abarbanel, is to obey your commands, to serve the role that you sent me on. But those final verses, Meshamrim Het Leshav, Chazdam Ya'azovu, Va'ani B'kol Todah Es B'chalach, is read very differently by Rashi. By Rashi in the Radak. Rashi reads it this way. Those people who serve idols, or those people who believe in nonsense, or Tansha Ovdim Avodah Zarah, Rashi says, those who worship idols, Chazdam Ya'azovu, they will abandon your kindness. They will abandon their fear of God, right? But I'm not that way. I will, says Yonah, I will indeed sacrifice to you. The Radak has it much clearer. The Radak says, those men in the boat, those sailors, those idolatrous sailors, Meshamrim Hevle Shav, they follow falsehoods. Once they got out of the trouble of the storm, I think, says Yonah, that they're going to abandon your kindness. They said they feared you, and they cried out to you, and they made vows to you, but they're not going to keep them. But I, says Yonah, I will keep my vows. When I was in the water, and I was gasping for air, I said to you, God, if you just make me alive, if you just allow me to live, I will go to the temple and bring a sacrifice. Well, you know what? Nadarai Lashem Ashalem. Ani b'kol todah es b'chalach. I will, with a voice of thanks, sacrifice to you. In this reed, Jonah is boasting, so to speak, that he is better than the sailors on the boat. Now, again, look back at chapter 1. I don't think this is the pshat, but this is Jonah's personal perspective. He says they're going to abandon their promises. They're going to abandon their vows. And Jonah says, but I'm going to honor mine. In other words, Jonah says, it seems, feels that he wants to thank God. But frankly, to his mind, he deserves to be saved. You know why? He made a deal with God. He vowed. He promised God. God saved. And now Jonah will pay. He's being coerced to do God's bidding. But Jonah doesn't feel guilty. For him, if you pray and if you make an oath, then you deserve salvation. In this version, Jonah is submitting, but he is not remorseful. Jonah's not saying he's sorry. Jonah's not committing to do anything for God. The only thing he's saying is, when I was about to die, you saved me. I owe you. I made a vow. I'm going to fulfill my vow. I find it fascinating that Jonah seemed like he wanted to die and he was willing to be thrown in the water. But through this prayer, we see that he's not as tough as he thinks he is. Because when he was gasping for air, he says in this prayer, I was about to die and you saved me. Right? I'll read the verse again. You hurled me into the depths, into the very heart of the seas. All your waves and breakers swept over me. And I said, I'd been banished from your sight. Or maybe even more than that, verse 7, when my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, God, and my prayer rose to you. In other words, at that key moment, when he was worried to die, he did pray to God. So is Jonah the man who can bargain with God, run away from God, or is Jonah somebody who's somewhat fragile and feels he's tough, but who knows what's really happening there? We'll leave these questions for chapter 3 and 4 for next week. See you then.